Good afternoon, good morning, whatever time you're listening to this. Happy Easter as well. We are the main event with the seventh episode, actually, of the main event. I'm losing track of where we're at because of this stupid opening round shit and then round one, round two, etc. Eggmate, how are you doing on this epic long almost Christmas, Easter weekend?
Well, I'm pretty good, yeah. Been a pretty crazy weekend for me. Rest of my family went away camping, but I stayed home and just pretty much hung out.
Yeah.
So yeah, can't complain too much. How about you, man?
Yeah, man, not too bad. It's been a very relaxing Easter weekend. Just did a little bit of stuff yesterday, and you know, spending time at home and with fam and all that sort of stuff. Well, the limited amount of family I've got here. But yeah, it's all been good, man. It's been an interesting weekend for us Lions fans. I know that. So the big elephant in the room at the moment is obviously the boys' Vegas trip that happened in the off season, but we're not going to talk too much about that or even really touch on it. It's just a load of, like, it's just a nothing burger pretty much. And to me, it doesn't correlate with our on-field performance. I mean, you know, as Danny Daly said, that these guys, I didn't even know if Danny Daly said this, but I've seen this in the last 24 hours, was like, you know, that these guys spend endless amounts of time together, especially since that trip, you know, preseason, the first few games of the season. It's all just a load of shit. So we're not going to even entertain it or touch on it. I know that might have been a reason why some people have tuned into this podcast, but straight off the bat, we're just going to sort of flatten that one there and just get straight into what matters. And to us, that's, you know, our game against Collingwood, man. But yeah, dude, it's been a good break from, you know, real life shit. And yeah, back into it all tomorrow. But till then, you know, just relaxing for the rest of the day and talking Lions, man. So it's going to be a good one. Now, obviously, if we're going to get straight into it, we had our game against Collingwood on Thursday night, Easter Thursday clash, as we do every year. Eggmate, you were at the game. What was your experience of the game? How was the atmosphere and everything? Let's kick it off with a positive note.
Atmosphere was really good. Lions were, the fans were very, very vocal, very, very into it, which is good to see. Like, we're not losing too much supporter base with the rough start to the year. It was a decent enough game. Like, quarter one wasn't the best. Quarter two was incredible. Very, very good. Like, there was, like, we were starting to recapture how we played in the first bit of the Carlton game.
Yeah,
you know, quarter three, like, momentum kind of got killed by some dodgy umpiring. I don't care if that sounds like I'm being biased. Like, there was some objectively shit calls in that third quarter, which was frustrating to see. And then fourth quarter, we just kind of like gave up and then took the L. So it was a weird game. Not as bad as the Carlton loss, I don't think, or even the Fremantle loss for that matter. Like, I didn't feel that freaking bad. Like, I was disappointed, but I didn't feel like hopeless, you know, because, like, we were showing some really good patches and a lot of people were improving. That, you know, Payne looked a bit better. Chalky was very good. McCluggage was good as well. Charlie Cameron got some points on the board as well, which is good to see that he's still going. He's trying to push through some goal kicking form. Darcy Wilmot looked good. You know, there's a lot to look forward to, but it's just going to, like, iron out some shit, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Sort of put it the best that way. Like, it was a big, big improvement on the Carlton and Fremantle game, which gives me some hope sort of moving forward as well. I mean, obviously, we start the season off with two very disappointing losses after such a strong preseason. I mean, again, we don't look into preseason. I swear I say this every week. But just after those performances, this is reassuring to see the boys, you know, across the board play relatively solid, except for, you know, a couple of players in question who we are going to be breaking down in this show here. Because, you know, obviously in this show today, I sort of feel like my formatting is all over the place, but we are going to be, obviously, after this Collingwood review, going through, you know, is our season at risk. We're going to be also talking about a certain player that is not in my good books right now, or many Lions fans' good books, and sort of seeing where can we go next with him. We're also going to be chatting about if Chris Fagan is really that coach to lead us to the flag. I mean, it's got a lot of talking points coming out of this game against Collingwood. So for those not in the loop, you know, Brisbane, we went down 10-12-72 to Collingwood's 14-8-92. 20-point loss to the reigning premiers. I mean, this one stung, man. This was a massive gut punch, personally. But at the same time, I've got to also remember it is only March. Well, it's now April, but it was March when this game took place, and premierships are not won in March. So it does put us down to 0-3 for the season, unfortunately, so far. But I mean, I feel like we've been in this situation plenty of times over the past 5 years. We've been up and about. You know, we go back to last year. We started off 1-1 and 2 with some pretty ugly losses, much uglier losses than what we've experienced this season. And it sort of made me, that's why I went on our Instagram page on Friday morning and sort of just gave my big spiel. Because I just, when I woke up on Sunday morning, I saw so much negativity from a lot of Lions fans, which really brought my mood down a lot. Because, you know, after that Collingwood game, like, don't get me wrong, I was upset. I felt like I'd just been punched in the gut. Like, I was pretty upset about it. But at the same time, context is king as well as perspective. And you just got to remember a couple things here. I'm just going to sort of reinstate some of the points that I made on our Instagram story on Friday morning. Of course, if you are not following us at Main Event Pod on Instagram and Twitter, I'm going to one of these days get active on Twitter. I really wanted to do like these like those live tweet sort of things from the game, like sort of what the actual Lions page does. But it was like, when I'm watching the games, I'm just so stressed out, I don't even think about it. But go give us a follow, guys. We'll our Instagram is active, but everything else is a bit, and we'll get there. I'm sure we'll get there. But I guess just some of the things that I just went through my mind waking up on Friday was like, you know, I'm in a lot of Lions groups. Like, you in a lot of Lions groups on Facebook and stuff like that as well?
I'm in a couple. I got banned from one of them a couple of years ago after the Bulldogs semi-final for whinging about the umpires, I think. I'm not entirely sure, but like, yeah, that was an experience. But yeah, like, it's part and parcel with these Facebook groups. Anytime Brisbane lose, it doesn't matter if it's like a 1-point loss against like a team that's like 20 and zip, where like we had like no bench, like everything against us, and we still lost by 4 points. Like, people immediately start calling for Fagan's head, half the fucking team to be dropped. Like, just the biggest overreactions you can imagine. And now these people have only just started to figure out how to use Facebook. They're not particularly tech savvy. They don't really like have a grip on like reality based on some of the shit they say. So like, I take it with a grain of salt. I don't go onto Facebook after a loss. And yeah, like I've had a look, and yeah, it's pretty ugly. People saying our season's over and that we need to rebuild and blow up the list and all this stupid shit. And it's like, come on, bro. It's fucking April. Come on.
I had to like leave those groups after that game, man. Like, I've been in those groups for years, man. I don't really participate too much in them. I just sort of like to sort of see the vibe of like what other Lions fans are feeling. I just like to read that shit after a game for whatever reason. It's a bit weird of me, as well as like
all
the Reddit.
These idiots, man.
Oh, they're all over the place. And that's why I went and posted about the Fairweather fans on Friday morning, because it was just, everyone is so quick to give up on this team, which is mind-boggling to me. Because let's give a quick reality check here. Our list, like, while the average age is, what, 27, 28 years old, I know it's the third oldest list in the comp, we got some fucking depth that is very young in our VFL team. I think people really seem to forget that, because we're not going anywhere. This team was not going to a rebuild anytime soon. It's unless something seriously fucking wrong happens, we have another like go home 12 or something like that. This team isn't going anywhere, guys. So I don't know why everyone's sort of, you know, freaking the fuck out, because we're going to be not contending, but we're going to be up there in the top eight for the foreseeable future, given our future. And a lot of the younger players. I don't mean to put, you know, more pressure on the club or anything by saying that, but it's just sort of with how good a lot of our youngsters are. You know, we got Will, we got Levi coming in. How good was fucking Moddy on Thursday night, man? Just Jasper. Like, it goes on and on. And a lot of these guys are just really young players. So everyone is sort of saying our premiership window's just been slammed shut. You're freaking the fuck out, and maybe you just need to get off the internet for a day, because that is ridiculous. And getting back onto like the Fairweather fans, it's sort of just like, at this stage in the season, it is fucking round 3. Again, we have been in this position last year. We were in this position in 2021, I believe it was. There's been numerous occasions in this successful run where we've you know, been able to start poorly and end up finishing really strongly. Again, premierships are not won in fucking March. So everyone chill out, for the love of God, because we're not getting the results we want, and I get that, and I understand we're, as supporters, we're under a lot of pressure being, you know, the premiership favourites touted by the media and probably everyone around us in our lives. Like, everyone sort of tipped the Lions to win a flag this year, and I totally understand that a 0-3 start makes that not only very difficult, but also adds the pressure on and makes us, maybe makes everyone look a bit silly for predicting this. But again, round three, so much footy to still be played, 20 more rounds to go after this, man. It's absolutely insane to me how quick people are to sort of lose confidence and jump off the bandwagon, which is, look, man, suit yourself, make your bed, but I just don't buy into it. I'm here for the long haul. I'm still feeling very optimistic, especially after seeing that the whole team, aside from one guy, played relatively solid over the entire period of the game. Collingwood are really fucking hungry, man. They were putting on so much defensive pressure on us. Like, their tackling was absolutely insane. We just got to remember as well, like, Collingwood were under so much pressure over the past few weeks. They were hungry for this win. They were so fucking hungry. I guarantee you right now, Craig McRae does not like being told that his team is going through a premiership hangover. This is a guy that's won 3 flags as a player. Like, if anyone knows anything about premiership hangovers and, you know, what it's like to win a premiership, it's Craig McRae. And he would have instilled some sort of mindset that he's had during his playing days, particularly in finals, into his playing group. And you could just see with the pressure and the way that they were playing, with the urgency they had, that was a different Collingwood team from the past few weeks. We could have beaten that team, don't get me wrong. We were very capable, but there was a lot of missed opportunities here, especially when the momentum was all in on us. And unfortunately, it's just the way the cookie crumbles here on an Easter Thursday, man. So, look, I'm not sweating over this one here. I thought a lot of our boys were super impressive. You know, Lachie Neale was absolutely amazing. Dane Zorko had a massive night. He had 30 touches. Did you know Dane Zorko had 30 fucking touches?
Like, I didn't. No, I knew he was good, but goddamn.
Yeah, he had the same amount of touches as Nick Dacos on the Thursday night. So, you know, take that what you
shit, eh?
Like, exactly. Like, it's... I only just realized that then when pulling up the stats. I was just like, holy shit, Dane Zorko had himself a night out. Yeah, I don't know, man. It just mind boggles me how the way some of these fans have reacted to this game and chose to analyze this game and really overreacted. But that's what sport and footy does to you, man. It makes you overreact. So when you're at the ground and, like, you know, when the final siren's gone, was like, what was the atmosphere like then at the ground? Like, was everyone sort of walking out? Obviously everyone's a bit, you know, deflated and down about the loss, but was everyone fucking setting the place on fire, or was it all just sort of business as usual?
It was a pretty standard, just like get out and leave. Like, I left a little bit earlier to go poop, frankly. And then I just couldn't be bothered heading back to my seat. So I just waited for final siren to go, wait for my mum, get out of there. Which technically isn't leaving early, because, like, I'm still in the building. So, yeah.
I'll be honest. I ended up switching the game off with like 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So, like, fuck. Yeah. It's not leaving early. You're all good.
Yeah, and then like it was not much like doom and gloom from people. I don't think a lot of people had left early, but like I could see outside, like, the buses, like, just completely packed. Like, it wasn't that freaking doom and gloom. It wasn't as bad as the Carlton game.
Oh yeah, I mean, when you're losing that fashion to Carlton, like, you know, 46 points up, it's fuck. I would have been ready to set the place on fire, to be honest with you. It was just, that's an ugly loss, and that's a tough one. Like, that's what I sort of think about, is I think about how I felt after Carlton, and even, like, the Fremantle game. I mean, we were both there, and I don't think either of us were really sweating when the final siren went at all. Like, it was sort of just like, well, this sucks, on to the next. And it's sort of just much the same thing with the Collingwood game, man. It's just, this sucks, but on to the next, dude. I'm just, no alarm bells at all, and they shouldn't be. I guess that's what frustrates me about a lot of these, like, Facebook groups at the moment, is that just, and I know it's Facebook groups and I shouldn't care at all, but it's just like, I still have to sort of, you know, open my phone after a loss and then go into my newsfeed and see all this bullshit. It's, it gets very frustrating and can also sort of cloud your own judgment. So that's why I've ended up having to fucking leave them, but yeah man.
No, for the best.
Oh, absolutely. Look, it was a tough game. Collingwood really just, they wanted it so much more than we did, I'm guessing. It was just, they looked like a whole new, what's the best word? Like, just they looked rejuvenated, pretty much. And I think they they definitely needed it more than we did. I mean, I'm not making excuses for us here, and I don't want to ever like sort of justify a loss for any reason, but it was just, it's as simple as that. This was a very simple loss, unfortunately. You get some losses where you really need to break the game down and sort of, you can pick about 10 different reasons here, but I could only pick a couple, and it's just, you know, the Pies just wanted it more. They're under so much more pressure than we were, especially from the media and their own fan base, and we had a momentum killer on our team, which we were into. before we do move on, though, like, so do you think Collingwood are back at this point, or do you think that they're just, do you think this might have been an anomaly? Do you, or do you think, how do you think they go from here?
It's hard to say because it's only like one win so far, but like, it's the destiny's in their hands from this point on. They've got Hawthorn next week at Adelaide Oval, and it's really up to them where they go from here. They got the tools to do it for sure, but again, it's wait and see.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sort of the same boat. Like, I've never really, and this is going to piss some people off listening to this, because they'll be like, oh, but they beat us in a grand final. But it's like, I've never been really convinced by Collingwood in their game, or like even their team. I feel like a lot of their results over the past couple of years have just been on pure luck and situation, which is, fuck, that's great for them, by the way. Like, you know, they've trained for late game situations and things like that. Like, I genuinely don't think they're that impressive of a team as a whole. I think they're the most, if anything, they're actually probably the most galvanized team for the most part. And I think even their culture, like, I'm saying this as an outsider, of course, but I just think there's so many like little things that go on in the background at that club that have made them successful over the past couple of years. I genuinely don't think they're that impressive at all. They play a lot of very undisciplined footy sometimes, like we do too as well. But I feel like Collingwood are always just getting away with murder, not in terms of like bad umpiring decisions that led to, you know, the result of the game, but they're always just pulling out these jammy ass fucking wins from just these weird performances. And this game sort of reminded me a lot about that. Like, the margin doesn't really reflect the opinion I'm giving here, which is, I understand that. But it was just like how they keep managing to fucking, you know, in that second quarter, we kept them to their only scoreless quarter since what, in 24 years, since 2000 or something like that. And they still managed to sort of, you know, jam it up and end up pulling the win out of their ass. It's just, they're a very, very confusing team. And I just don't know how to feel about them. I think they're going to definitely contend this year and maybe have a chance at going back to back, but I don't see them sort of being the same force over the past couple years they have been, especially for the most part in late game situations. I can just see them dropping a lot more games this season than they have in the past. But hey man, we'll see. I'm still banking on us playing them in a grand final, to be honest. And I mean, I've got that as a wager with one of my mates who's a Pies fan, so maybe I'm just holding hope for that. But yeah, anyway, man, a loss to Collingwood always sucks, especially to the team that beat you in the grand final by 4 points. But hey, man, that's footy and it is what it is. We'll just get them next time, I guess. I think we play them again, what, late in the season at fucking Marvel or something annoying. So
round 23 at the MCG.
At the G. Fuck, we're actually playing them against the G. That'd be nice. Maybe get that one in. Hopefully we can win that one, but we'll see. I know we play at the G in a couple of weeks. Are you going to be flying down to Melbourne for that one?
No, I got a cousin's wedding that weekend, so.
Oosh, meh. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see how we go with that one. I really just want to get a win at the MCG in the regular season this year. That's a big one on the top of my list for these boys to do, but Melbourne are looking the goods, man. Melbourne are looking the goods. We'll move on. I guess the next thing I had on my run sheet here was, is our season at risk yet? But I guess I've kind of already covered that, man, so. But I don't think I gave you the chance to sort of comment on it. So where do you think we're at with our season? Do you think it's truly at risk at the moment, or are you sort of in the same boat as me?
No, I don't think it's at risk at all. I think like Fake said in his presser after the game, there's still 20 games to go.
Yeah.
So, and like it's, if we lose next week, then yeah, probably. Yeah, we're fucked. But like, it's way too early to be calling that shit still. Like, your season's not really over until like round 10, give or take. And even then, like, it's not truly over. Like, look at GWS and look at Carlton last year.
Yeah.
They're living proof.
Those have been my prime examples over the past couple of weeks when coming to discussing footy with anyone in my life at the moment. So everyone seems to be trying to write us off and pretty much just say we're cheeks, which, I mean, they're not wrong. We have been cheeks lately, but it's like, it's not, this isn't season ending fucking footy. Like, this is not a season ending performance. Like, again, as you said, 20 games to go. so much more time to be played out. These are pro athletes we're talking about here, like, and with professional coaches. They should be able to find a way to just get everyone back in line and back on the same page. And even then, it's not even a case of not being on the same page. It's just, we've been notorious for really shitty starts. And this might sound like I'm just pulling excuses out of my ass and like all I'm doing is making excuses for us. But it's not the case at all. I'm a realist when it comes to footy. I just sort of see it how it is. And just for my mind, it's just, this is just a really slow start of the season. We're not a stranger to doing this. Sure, 0-3, this is our worst start since 2018, but with this list, and no doubt in my fucking mind will they come good. There's no doubt in my mind about it. We just need it to be sooner and later, sooner rather than later. And of course, as you mentioned, if we lose this Friday, I might set the alarm bells a little bit, just a little bit, because we got North Melbourne this weekend for Gather Round at Norwood Oval, and if we lose this one, man, I'm going to look like a fucking idiot for saying all this. An absolute idiot. Of course, we will break that game down a little further into the podcast here. But someone I did want to bring up here was our main man, Eric Hipwood. Now, I don't know what has been going on with him just overall in the time that he's played with the Lions. I mean, he had a really good start to his career with the Lions. Like, I remember everyone was sort of like, not everyone, but just like neutrals and like mates of mine in my life. And even some of the media were really hyping him up and touting him to sort of be this great player for us. And don't get me wrong, he's shown his moments and he's shown that he's got that potential. But on Thursday night, man, he was an absolute momentum killer. There was several occasions where he was just dropping the easiest like marks and like sitters, and like he was dropping chess marks pretty much up until the final quarter when he decided to actually, you know, fucking grab the ball and just fucking mark it. But up until that point, he was destroying our momentum, man. Like, the amount of inside 50s we had in that second quarter, that could have been way more, because Eric Hipwood at so many times in this game was, you know, in the center square, in a paddock. On the odd occasion, there was a bit of a competition for him, but most of the time he's in a paddock and he's just dropping these easy sitters. And it just killed our momentum, because those would have been more inside 50s entries. Now, no one can tell us if those were going to lead to any scores or goals or behinds or anything like that. We don't know that, but at least there would have been more chances for us to put some more damage on the scoreboard at that point in the game. Cause Lord knows we fucking needed it. How did you make of Eric Hipwood's performance on Thursday night?
It wasn't great, but I think it's ridiculous to put the blame at the feet of one guy. He's not had a great start to the year, but like, he's shown he's capable of a lot. And I think, he maybe a spell in twos for a couple of weeks, give him some easier competition, give him like a bit less pressure, a bit less attention, give him a chance to find his confidence and his mojo back. Maybe that might do him some good. Yeah. But yeah, he certainly didn't help on Thursday, but he didn't. I don't think he cost us a game or anything like that. You can't lay it on one player.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I understand that. I mean, I've gotten pretty in my feels towards Eric Hipwood since Thursday night. I think he, in my opinion, he did play a massive role into us losing. Obviously, it's a team sport, though, so I can't, as much as I want to plant it on just him, I can't. But I think in my mind, I'm still going to unofficially. But it's sort of just, yeah, you're right. Like, you can't plan on one guy. There is 22 other guys on the team that played on Thursday night. But I guess it's hard for me to make the judgment, because everyone else played relatively solid. And I guess that's what makes it really difficult for me to really judge this one and try my hardest to not be so unfair on Hippy. I know that my perspective on him right now might actually be pretty unfair on him. I'm happy to admit that. But I guess it's been relatively consistent as well over his journey with the Lions. He's had some really good games, but unfortunately, those seem like they feel like they're coming every, you know, 10 to 15 games or so. And you have a really good, you know, stretch of footy for probably 2, 3, 4 weeks. And then he sort of goes back to his usual self. And I just don't know what needs to be done to really bring him out of his shell. He seems to be very hesitant when it comes to contests. And I understand with a guy like I'm a skinny guy, I'm pretty lanky. And so is he when you put it in the perspective of, you know, with other footy players and stuff like that. He looks really lanky on the field, which can actually come to that can be an advantage for us as well, because he's a good runner. He's got those long fucking arms, so he's got an immediate advantage into the marking contests. But I don't know what really is I don't know what his problem is and what's holding him back at the moment. He just seems really hesitant to get into a contest and really, you know, just do something to sway that into his favor, even if that is just a knock out of the contest and back into our forward line or something like that, or even deeper into our forward line. It's just been really weird. And I guess it's just it's disheartening for me because this guy's on a 7-year contract with a bag. And so we're stuck with him, and we're not stuck with him. That's probably a really rude way to say it, but we've got Eric Hipwood on the list for quite some time still to go now. And we've got to really embrace Hippy. That's going to be a challenge for a lot of Lions fans, particularly me as well. But we've got to embrace him and probably get around him as well. I don't think going onto the Lions page, not knowing if the players really read it all or not, I'm sure they're instructed not to read it, not interact with anything. But I'm sure some of them still do it. And to go on there and, I guess, just sort of bring him down publicly probably isn't the way to do it. I mean, like, I post a little cheeky story on my personal Instagram on Saturday or Friday of the time I met Eric Hipwood and just put an angry emoji over my face there. But there was nothing in that. I didn't mean anything malicious by it, but I certainly was just, you know, poking a bit of fun. And that was probably wrong of me in perspective, because this is a guy we sort of got to get around. And that goes for the whole team at this point in time, and I guess goes back to the point I was making about the Facebook groups, is that this negativity isn't going just in the Facebook groups, but also on our social media pages. And again, I don't know if the players read this shit or if they're instructed not to or what, but assuming that they do read it out of curiosity on their own end, we shouldn't be, you know, going on there and absolutely dragging players for this sort of performances. We all know he played like shit. We all know, and we all know he did. But to go on to social media pages and just sort of bring him down and talk all this shit about his game and say, oh, can we fucking trade this guy or drop him from our list? That doesn't do anything for his confidence. We all want to see Hippy play well. You know, we're supporters of the club, so we're supporters of Eric Hipwood. But something's got to give here, and I think, I don't know, if a spell in the twos will fix it. I'm massively supportive of that idea because he's... Well, not just Eric Hipwood either, though, but like, I would love for Chris Fagan to really start putting his foot down. Stop playing the whole favorites game. Like, I don't think anyone can deny this, but Chris Fagan does have his favorite players, and they're about a lock every single week for senior footy. And I totally understand that. You know, Fagan did say recently he's worked with these guys for a long time now. He knows who he trusts, and it is probably just a trust thing. Now, if you drop Eric Hipwood to the twos, who do you replace him with? Do you have anyone in mind here?
Excuse me. I think Logan Morris, for sure. Like, he's shown a lot in the twos, and I think he's the type of player who we need to get senior games into, like, sooner rather than later, because that'll only do him a lot of good. Like, VFL players have to play with AFL players to get better and take their game to the next level. So I think definitely give him a spell, give him a game or two this year at least. If not, get as many as you can, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm massive on the idea of having Logan Morris sort of take his place in the team, at least just for like a couple of weeks, get him that time. But at the same time, I'm also like, well, we are playing North this weekend, and this Friday, actually. We're playing at a really interesting time. It's like a Friday afternoon at like 2 o'clock my time, which is interesting, but I'm excited for it, man. New venue as well. We'd never played that Norwood Oval before, so it should be exciting. But yeah, look, I'm massively supportive on the idea of Eric Hipwood going to the VFL, but at the same time, this is North Melbourne we're talking about here, so maybe let's give him one more chance against a strongly inferior opposition. Now, I know we don't take oppositions lightly at all, but this is North Melbourne we're talking about, and they've got a lot of growing to do, and this is the team, like, straight up on paper that we should be demolishing. If we play like the way we have been playing, though, that's pretty questionable because, you know, North have been playing pretty strong footy in the first couple quarters of their games, but they just don't have the gas in the tank to, you know, play out the full four quarters, which is unfortunate for them. So it's a one that I'm sort of feeling a bit weird on, but I'm supportive of either way they go with Eric Hipwood here. It's just a case of, if you're going to put him in the twos, you know, do it for a couple of weeks, really stand your ground on it, because as the point I was trying to get to before was like that Chris Fagan, he's got his favorites, he's worked with these guys for a while, and he knows who he trusts, but maybe that sort of needs to go out the window, and he sort of needs to make a statement that no one's spot is safe. And that might, you know, put a rocket up some guys' asses as well, and maybe give them the shot of confidence they might need. I mean, I know being told that you're going to be playing in the twos if you play like shit doesn't give you much confidence, but it gives you motivation. And I don't know if that's what we sort of need Fagan to start doing or what. I'm not a coach, so I don't know. But I think it's it would certainly be a message to the team if Hippy got dropped to the twos. Because from memory, I don't think there's been a time where he's ever been dropped. He's just been playing senior footy ever since he came into the side. And that might be just be what you need to do, because I know a lot of people have been calling for Berry's head recently, but I thought he was actually great against Collingwood on Thursday night, man. Like, you know, people have been really harsh on Jared Berry. I probably have been as well a little bit, but I think he really put a lot of doubters in their place on Thursday night. And I just love the same thing for Eric Hipwood right now, because Lord knows he needs that confidence. But I'm just trying to pull up Logan Morris's VFL stats here, but I don't know if I can actually find them. Fixture? Sorry, it's fucking terrible podcasting me trying to bring all this up on the pod, but here we go. Logan Morris. So he kicked 3 goals. He had 14 disposals, 13 kicks, had 9 marks. Now, I don't have any context to these if they were, like, you know, just isolated marks, if they're in a contest, but it's some interesting signs there, man. I think Logan Morris could really, again, this is part of the, what we opened up the show with like the future of our list. Logan Morris, in my eyes, is probably part of that, as well as Brandon Ryan, our new Hawthorn recruit. He seems like he's got these really sort of, he's got these really lanky arms, and they used to call him Bones at Hawthorn, or Sticks or something like that. And he reminds me a lot of Eric Hipwood. So I think maybe a like-for-like replacement almost in terms of, you know, physicality and, well, not physicality, but his physicals in terms of height and weight. Have you seen much Brandon Ryan footy? Have you actually, has he played a game for us at all yet? Hang on, before I ask my next question.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
I don't think he has. No, he hasn't. But I know that he did kick 3 on Darcy Moore last year, so... That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the question I was going to ask was, have you seen much Brandon Ryan footy? But I don't think he's even got a game for our VFL team yet, so no comment on that.
Not yet.
Yeah. Before I move on from our diagnosis of Eric Hipwood here, I think we've sort of come to the conclusion that he might need a spell on the twos, but either way, I think we're going to be supportive of him no matter which way he goes, despite being an absolute momentum killer. There was a fact here, though, that I did find that is seriously concerning, particularly for, like, the future of just where we can go moving forward with this guy and how much faith we can put into him. Like, I've still got a bit of faith in Hippy. I think I've seen him be in this position before. You know, we saw him and Joe get absolutely eaten alive by the media after the Bulldogs game in round 3 last year. But he managed to turn it around. He played some great footy last year. But so Champion Data rated every player to have played at least 100 games. So that would have listed everyone in the AFL is currently playing who played 100 games, and Eric Hipwood was last on that list. That's some concern right there for me. But also, what do you make of Champion Data? Do you take Champion Data seriously, or do you think they're sort of just a load of shit?
It's a good indicator to a certain degree, but it's also like not something you can take as gospel. You got to read it for what it is, and like a lot of it's like subjective, I think. So it's obviously based on data, but like to an extent, it's like how you interpret that data as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of it's a good baseline, but I don't know how much to read into it after seeing something like that, because I guess it sort of lines up with what we've been seeing. But I also feel like there's many more players who've played over 100 games, like Matt Tabiner, who have played much fucking worse footy than Eric Hipwood has over the past few years. I mean...
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a funny one, man. But maybe I need to go see the list and go see who's above him, because I'm sure I can point out some inconsistencies. Which sort of brings the next question of who's under fire in our team. Everyone loves to blame Fagan. Everyone loves to say the two fucking dreaded words that I so much disagree with all the time is drop Fagan, fire Fagan. Fuck that shit, man. Now, do you think that Chris Fagan is going to be the coach that leads us to the flag? Keeping in mind, he almost did last year. We only lost by 4 points, and he couldn't have changed a thing about that game or done anything differently. Keeping that in mind. And his overall win-loss record as well, for anyone who is wondering, is Chris Fagan with the Brisbane Lions is 87 wins for 65 losses with 0 draws. What do you make of this, Egg? And do you think Fagan is that guy?
He definitely has the capabilities of being that guy. Whether or not he is that guy, like, we only know if when he wins a flag. We'll only know when he does it, you know? He, again, like last year, he came out within a kick and some shit-ass luck of being a premiership coach now, you know? So, like, he's rebuilt a list from pretty much nothing. Like, look at the list in 2017 and look at the list right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost, it's night and day, you know? So,
absolutely.
Like, yeah, it's anybody who says sack Fagan, like, go fuck yourself straight up.
Straight
like,
up.
It's just stupid.
Yeah, it's
uneducated and it's ignorant.
It fucking irks me every time I say it because it's just like, dude, like, look at where this guy pulled us from. Like, you know, he pulled us out of the depths of fucking hell. You know, Fagan he's done so fucking much for this club, and he's been able to bring some of the biggest names in footy to the club as well. You know, like Lachie Neale and Charlie Cameron, I don't think they would have come to the club without Chris Fagan being there. And, you know, Fags has put a lot of love and a lot of effort into bringing these players over. You know, he's been known to fly down or fly across the country to go see these players at their home and, you know, have a chat with them. And, you know, Fags is a guy who's he's done so much more than people really realize. And I think on a personal level, he's absolutely amazing to these players. You know, when it comes down to their player to coach relationships, I think he's sort of, he's got a lot of traits that many coaches in the AFL just don't have. And sure, like we all want him to be the hard nut that Lee Matthews was, but that's sort of unrealistic because that's just not in Chris Fagan's nature. And no. I think as well, people need to sort of realize we are in a totally different generation these days too. Yelling at your players and fucking spraying them for shit losses or like, you know, shit ways of playing footy, that doesn't really, it doesn't seem like it flies these days anymore. I mean, I'm sure it does in some teams. You know, if Chris Scott was fucking, you know, yelling at me, I'd be like, all right, I'm in my fucking place now. But, you know, playing groups, they vary from each other in terms of, it could be mentality, it could be how they handle their emotions as well. These are all like, these groups of players are vastly different from each other, team to team, and they've all got different sets of cultures. And I think people, they're in love with this idea of having Chris Fagan leave and bring a hard nut coach in. I totally disagree with that because we don't know what these boys are like behind the scenes. We don't know if Chris Fagan, being as nice as he is and as like a, you know, like the granddad or the nice uncle or whatever we all love, I don't know if that plays a massive role into our culture and how much players actually listen to him and feel motivated to play for him. But I feel like, in my eyes, he is the right coach to sort of lead us to the flag. He's already come so close and within 4 points already. And I guess it's just something I want to address with all the comments I'd seen over the past few days about, you know, sack Fags and fire Fags, because we see it all the time. Like, every time there's a bad loss and no change of coaching plan and all this fucking bullshit, it's just like, everyone's so quick to fire the gun at Fags, and I just think it's wrong. Like, this is a guy, again, that pulled us out of the depths of hell. He's brought superstars to the club, consistently brought superstars to the club, and, you know, he's changed our fortunes each and every year. You know, we seem to get closer and closer and closer every single year, even if the ladders don't reflect that in the past. Come September, we all feel like this is our year, and I feel like that's something that most other teams don't get to experience, as well as, and a lot of other teams are just always changing their coaches and they never really get the chance to really connect. So I don't know if we're giving him the benefit of the doubt because of the time we've spent with him, or if, you know, the time we spent having him as our coach, or where we were at before we had Chris Fagan. But I do feel like as well, I've seen enough from Chris Fagan to know he is that guy to lead the club. So I'm assuming you totally feel the same way on that one.
Yeah. Like, yeah, we've been a genuine chance of winning a premiership every year since 2019.
Yeah.
And like, that's insane to think about as a coach. Like, so as a coach, I don't think he has much to answer for.
No, absolutely not, man. He's done absolutely everything he can in his power at this point. And at this point, it's just, you know, do what you know and do it the best that you possibly can. And I feel like either way he goes about it, he will find some success. Even if it doesn't lead to a flag, we've gotten pretty fucking close to it. And where we were under guys like Vossi and Lepic, this is more than we ever asked for when Fagan came on, and then some. And, you know, we're still a chance for the flag. In my eyes, we're still the premiership contender, as much as the media and social media pretend like we're not anymore after three games. I absolutely feel like Fagan is that guy. So it might get to a stage, though, in the next couple of years where we might need some sort of a refresh. But right now, I don't think it calls for it at all. I don't think it's justified. And I think as well, he's the coach that everyone trusts, you know, and everyone respects him so at the club. So I just feel like it would be wrong to sort of sack Fags and fire him. And I feel like that would actually truly throw our season into turmoil, because then that's all new systems they need to start, you know, writing up, and probably a whole new like assistant coaching team and all this sort of stuff. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it. In my eyes, it ain't broke. So it's just sort of one I wanted to address there, given, again, some of the comments I saw over the weekend. It was pretty sad, really. And I'm really glad Chris Fagan doesn't have social media, because he'd be fucking subject to reading some absolute horse shit. God, it was good to get that rant out of the way.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Let's preview North Melbourne, because we're going to talk a lot about North Melbourne this episode, and we're also going to talk a lot about Gather Round, as I know that's got a lot of talking points to it. I know, obviously, you're going down to Gather Round this weekend into Adelaide, so we'll break down some Gather Round stuff too. But till then, man, we got North Melbourne this week. Of course, they're coming off their loss to, I believe, oh God, I fucking watched the game.
Carlton,
that's right. Coming off against a loss against Carlton, and in my eyes, man, like for the first half of that game, they were pretty in it. So, what do you make of this game, man? And are you nervous by any chance?
Quietly confident, but like, you can't help but feel nervous at this point, man. Like, North are capable of playing some very, very good footy, and. Yeah, it's going to be up to us if we want to win or not. Like, which team shows up? The Lions from quarter three or from quarter two, or the Lions from quarter three last week. So it's in our hands, man. It's up to us for sure.
Yeah, look, I'm quietly confident like you as well, but I'm pretty nervous about it too, because this is sort of an extreme danger game for us, man. Like, this is the North Melbourne team that don't really have much firepower behind them other than Harry Sheezel and LDU. I'm sure I'm missing someone in there. I feel like I am, but
Larky?
Larky. Yeah, he's a really fucking dangerous forward. And this game is in our hands either way it goes about it. If we can choose to lose this game, we can choose to win it. And I'm hoping it's the latter, obviously. But it's not a game to be really taken too lightly either, because we had every opportunity to sort of lose this one. And I know a lot of Lions fans went into the Freo game very confident, and look how that one turned out. But I feel like with this North Melbourne game as well, this is the perfect game for us to sort of play ourselves into some form. We've come up against Carlton, who are obviously, a fellow flag contender at this point. I'm going to straight up admit it. I think I believe in Carlton now after sort of seeing the footy they've played, and it's pretty consistent. I wasn't won over by them initially, but I think as well now it's just like, okay, shit, these guys aren't fucking around. They're actually here to play some footy and play it to a high level. So, obviously we played Carlton in a pretty brutal game, and then which we're all confident going into, and fuck, we had every right to be confident at quarter time, I'll tell you that much. But going into Freo as well is sort of like the same boat. I think this is just as big of a danger game as the Freo game was, probably on a much bigger degree now because of how North Melbourne have been performing. We've actually got to see where they're at up until this point. I know you've watched their games, I've watched their games. Whereas when we played Freo, we had nothing to go off, so everyone was pretty confident. Whereas this time, it's a bit, we could be confident, but really? I don't know. It's a funny one, man. And I think if we do lose this game, that would, as I said earlier in the show, this would be the alarm bells. Are you sort of, first of all, are you going to this game?
Yes, surely. Absolutely. Yeah, I've got a ticket for it. Yeah. Should be good, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, fingers crossed, man.
I don't know. I don't like thinking about footy right now, but yeah.
Yeah. It's tough, man. Like, I'm sort of in the same boat. Like, I don't really want to think about footy or like even our team at the moment. We've got a fucking podcast to record, and it's sort of making me think a lot about it. And it's not great. I mean, this podcast, I feel like once later in the year, will become very fun to record. But believe it or not, guys, these episodes are pretty difficult to record. Like, there's not much, like, we're sort of having to make our own energy at the moment, and it's difficult because there's not too much to be excited about. I'm still optimistic, but fuck, it's just when you go through a rough patch like this, it can make it really demotivating to be sort of confident and excited in your team. And again, as I said, this is the perfect team for it to play us into form and, get a really, really good win to get our confidence back up. But it's just fucking getting from today, which is where we're recording this on Easter Monday, and getting to Friday from here feels like it's going to be an eternity and like the longest wait and a really dreadful wait too. There's something really, what's the word I'm looking for here? It's something, I don't know. I'm just dreading this game for some reason, man. Like, and I've had these really bad feelings before games over the past few weeks, and I've realized very quickly I've had every right to be as nervous as I have been, and I'm sort of feeling the same way about this one again. Like, I know on paper we should crush these guys. Like, with the list we've got and the players we have, we should crush them. But with the way we've been playing, dude, it's fucking sketchy. Are you feeling much the same on this one? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, you read my mind. It's, I don't know how to feel about this at all.
Yeah, and there's so much pressure on us in this game too, because it's like if we lose to North Melbourne and go 0-4, the messages we're both going to get, and I'm sure you're not going to check your Discord server for like several fucking days after that game. I'm hoping so. And it's just, there's a lot of pressure on this game, and I feel like this is the probably the game I'm going to be the most nervous for out of any of the games so far this season. This is an extreme danger game. So if anyone listening out there, don't be fucking going around this week saying, oh yeah, like fucking, we'll be fucking getting ourselves back into form. No bloody worries, mate. It's not going to be that easy. It's not going to be that simple. And we've seen North Melbourne, they can hang in there. You know, they've stuck around. Like with that GWS game a few weeks ago, man, they played GWS up until the last quarter. That is fucking horrifying to think about, man. What are you sort of making of North Melbourne so far, and where do you think they go this season? Do you think they're sort of going to stay bottom of the barrel? Do you think they make a move up?
I think they make a move up at some point. I think they've shown some signs, some very good signs. If they do, like if they get their fitness in check, they can win a lot more games of footy than people would anticipate. Some of the passages of play I saw last week against Carlton were very impressive and something that we hadn't seen from North previously. So it's going to be, I still think there's a lot to look forward to as a North Melbourne supporter for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Like, it's not all doom and gloom for them. I mean, they've got one of the greatest coaches in the modern era, you know, Alistair Clarkson, and you just got to trust Clarko, man. I feel like Clarko is one of those guys that you just trust the process with, sort of a bit like of a Joel Embiid. But I think in this case, it's a... If I'm a North Melbourne fan, right, like, sure, it's all been pretty fucked, but you got guys like LDU and Harry Sheezel, and you've obviously got Clarko, and you've got Nick Larkey. And there's probably some other, Tristan Cherry or Zeri, whatever the fuck his name is. Like, you've got a lot of decent talent there. You just got to start building on that. And for North Melbourne, man, they've got a really vulnerable Brisbane Lions to face this weekend at Norwood Oval. And look, we're not the greatest team on the road either. So this is very winnable for North. And I think that should be pretty terrifying to any Lions fan watching this one and feeling like they're going to be, feeling like it's going to be a cakewalk, because it's fucking not going to be. I reckon there's going to be some seriously testing moments in this game, but at the same time as well, on the other hand, this could be the perfect game we fucking need, and we could absolutely give them the smoke. We don't know how this one goes at all with how weird this team has been playing. Personally, I'm excited for it. I will be tipping the boys to get over in this one because I just feel like this is the game they need. But at the same time, yeah, just a lot of worry going into this one. I don't even know how many more times I can really say that in different ways, but it's just, that's the way I'm feeling about it, man. It's just worry and dread. Because I just know the shit storm that's going to come after we if we were to drop this one, it's fucked, man. It's fucked. So don't go around this weekend, guys, fucking flexing anything. Just be optimistic this weekend. That's all we can really ask for this clash at Gather Round. And speaking of Gather Round, this is the second Gather Round. Now I know you went last year.
No, I didn't.
You didn't. Fuck. Okay. I was about to say I'm 99% sure you did. So. Shit, man. First, gather around. How keen are you for this one?
I'm excited. Yeah, it should be a good time. I get to see everybody, get to meet everybody, get to take in the atmosphere and the buzz around our game of footy. All localized in one place. Like, it sounds awesome. It sounds like a dream come true. And it's going to be interesting for sure.
Yeah, dude, it looks like it'd be a lot of fun. Like, you'll get a chance to network with a lot of other creators as well, which would be sick for you, and probably meet some guys that you haven't met yet. I mean, I assume you've sort of met most of your online mates at this point, but I guess it's like, everyone's going to be in one city now. All the creators, all the teams, all the clubs, and that's exciting, dude. Like, you might get some, like, fuck. I was thinking this last year, like, when Gather Round was on, I was just like, fuck, imagine just being out in Adelaide right now. Like, you could see anyone in public. You could see fucking anyone, like, from any team, and that is just wild to think about. How do you feel about Gather Round as a concept? Like, do you enjoy it? Like, do you think it's should stick around pretty much for an eternity at this point? What do you make of Gather Round, do you enjoy it?
Without question, it's something that should continue forever. Like, it's a great idea. And I think if they move it to Perth or something like that, it's going to be interesting. But, like, I think keep it in Adelaide right now for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Well, it is due to stay there till, I think, 2028. They're doing it until, so, or 2027 or something like that. I might be getting that 2028 mixed up with the fucking Tassie Devils. I know a lot of us in Perth were pretty devastated about it staying in Adelaide for another couple of years, but at the same time, I think that's the right move to make from a business perspective as well as just for the fans as well. You know, just get everyone used to the concept, because it's such a new, brand new concept, and You know, just get everyone comfortable with it and acclimated to it for the first couple of years there in Adelaide, and then start moving it around. I saw a fucking stupid suggestion on one of these stupid fucking Facebook groups, or I might have been a page or something like that, and it was just like, oh, we should have gather round in like all the cities and just do fucking one city per fucking round. And it's just like, why the fuck would we ever do that? Like you wanted round one in like fucking Queensland, and then like round two in Victoria, round three in Perth, and round four in South Australia, and round five in New South Wales. It's just like, no, that makes no sense whatsoever. Like, then clubs are just going to be traveling for up to a month at a time. Like, no, that is terrible. But yeah, dude, I'm excited for it. I love all the sort of the content that comes out of Gather Round. You know, it's sort of, it's a great time. You know, everyone gets to sort of collaborate with each other. We get to see, you know, the those fans out there who have the ridiculous every team together jumper, which I hope makes a return this year. It's just, it's a lot of fun, man. A lot of teams just bring out new strips as well, new Guernseys, and fuck, I wish we'd do something like that, man. Like, if you were going to sort of, if you were to choose a Guernsey from our past to bring back or even remix, I mean, fuck, this is probably a question I probably should have asked you to actually have a think about instead of popping you on a spot with it. But if there was a Guernsey you think we could bring back for Gather Round, what Guernsey would that be, and how would you design it?
Probably Fitzroy preseason Guernsey from 96, I think. Change up the colors a bit, I think, because of the blue as the primary color doesn't look very good. But yeah, definitely. That's a design we can use, I think, or just rip off Fremantle, but do it for us, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it would just be awesome if we just started doing some different Guernseys like that. I mean, I know we do for the Indigenous round, which I absolutely love. Every time we bring those out, they're fucking phenomenal. Guernseys that we see, but that's across the league, and I just wish we'd have some more sort of special stuff, you know, for special rounds. Like, you know, North Melbourne's got the Good Friday Super Clash Guernsey, whatever they call it, and then they've got the Frio does their stealth one for Gather Round, and Adelaide's brought back their they had that stealth kit last year, which was like this year's clash kit, well, their old clash kit, this year's old one, whatever. It's the same thing. They've just brought it back into like a remixed version of it. Like, I just wish we'd do some stuff like that, man. I think our Guernsey design allows for so many like awesome ways to go about it, as well as even just for me, it would be like just bringing back the old Brisbane Bears fucking the V one, where it's like fucking
For sure, yeah.
Like that one is absolutely awesome. I wish we'd bring that back and sort of show more tribute to the Bears, even though as much as I'm a Fitzroy man, there's two sides to this merger here, and I love the old Brisbane Bears branding, so, and some of the old kits, so I wish we would bring that one back, maybe even for like a heritage round if they ever did that again, which would be awesome to see. Now, before we do move on from Gather Round, though, I do want to sort of do our main event of the week here. Now, I was meant to do this at the end of the review against Collingwood, but I just fucking just completely crossed my mind, so let's do our main eventer of the week here, man. So obviously, for those not in the know, our main eventer of the week is who we think performed by far the best on ground for us and our eyes. And for me, mate, it's going to be Chockey Neal. He was absolutely outstanding. It sort of felt like he was back to his old form. That's how a dual Brownlow medalist plays. How do you think, who's your main eventer of the week?
I think Neal for sure. Like we missed him last week, definitely. Like you could see like his impact on the game was considerable. And if we had him last week, the week before against Fremantle, we probably win that game, and then like we could be 1-2 instead of 0-3. Like it's just, he's that kind of player. He's good, it's good to have him back. Good that he's not too freaking sore. I know he had a bit of an ankle scare before he got it scanned, and it came back saying he was all good to go for North Melbourne, which is a relief.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think yeah.
I don't know how many more injuries
give me confidence for sure.
Yeah, man. I don't know how many more injuries I would have been able to take at that point. Like, I know because we had the news of Dude going down with his with a partial tear of his ACL, the same one he's just come back from, and that really put me in a flat mood when I woke up and read that. I think it was on Wednesday morning or something like that. It was just really flat to read about, and even then, I think he would have been a massive game changer on Thursday night, maybe against Collingwood. I feel like I think we did miss him, and I know it's rich of me to say because we've never seen him play in Lions colours, but it was just something we sort of need, you know, just a defender like that. And it's a tough one because all these injuries with the new, all these news with the injuries, should I say, and it's really deflating, and it really deflates you very quickly. But so it's super relieving to see that, you know, Lachie Neal, he looked so ginger on Thursday night after he was hobbling around, but he just ran it out like an absolute fucking king and finished the game off unscathed, and fuck, he's all good. You can't ask for more from like a champion player like Lachie Neale, and you know, all we need to do now is get him a premiership and he'd be a serious champion of the game. How lucky we are to have Lachie Neale, man. So, you know, 35 touches. Well, that's our main event of the week right there, and I'm fucking proud to say it. I think that just about sort of wraps up with last week's game, as well as sort of what we were talking about on, you know, just generally over this episode. But I wanted to sort of just, yeah, maybe a bit of general footy talk here. So let's have a chat about the season so far, man. So who's impressing you? And yeah, let's go from there. What are you making of the season so far? Who's impressing you?
Starting to stabilize a bit in terms of like the feel of it, like after the opening round bullshit, like we're seeing less teams have a bye. I know Gold Coast and GWS are off this week. At the moment, I think it's GWS, Collingwood, and maybe Sydney and Melbourne. I think those are the teams to watch right now.
Yeah.
The Essendon game and St Kilda game was really good. The Port and Melbourne game could have been really good, but it was pretty good actually. Now, what am I saying? Like, yeah, it was a good game, but it could have been better.
Yeah.
It was a very good game. Yeah, like it after like I'm it's got me keen for Gavaran, definitely. Like the comp's in a really healthy state, I think, except for like pretty much West Coast.
Yeah. Yeah, literally. Like everything is sort of even. Like tipping this year is really difficult. You know, I've gone what, 2 from 7 so far on my tips or something stupid. And like I'm just being surprised by a lot of teams. Like no one is safe from anyone, and that's so exciting, like, you know, as a footy fan. First and foremost, like it's a really exciting time to be watching every game, because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who's going to win. These games can go either way. I mean, fuck, like yesterday, Richmond of all teams upset Sydney of all teams at the MCG. Like that is, it was pretty unreal to even watch in real time. And yeah, it's a lot. It's just surprising. Like there's so much of that happening this season, and I'm just, fuck, I wouldn't write off the Hawks doing the same thing to Geelong today, man. I just can't write it off at this point. Like it's. The comp seems to be in a really good place at the moment outside of West Coast being shit. And anyone can beat anyone. And that's super fucking exciting to me, man. Super exciting. I feel like it's been a while since the competition's been in this spot. You know, it's truly anyone's game this year. And that's what sort of gives me a bit more pressure on us to sort of win it all this year. Because the competition in this state makes it very difficult for any team to stand out. And it makes you wonder, because we've been at the top for so long now. It's like, have we truly left it too late? Like, do we have too many other teams to compete with now? Like, I say no as well, personally. But I've always got that doubt in the back of my mind. Like, have we waited till it's really fucking hard to get the job done? I mean, don't get me wrong, that'll make our flag super impressive, by the way. But.
But it's always been hard to get the job done, though. Like, look at who was good in 21. Look at who was playing good in 22.
Mm.
Look at 2020, like, and 2019. Richmond dynasty in 2019, 2020. Melbourne having an unbelievable year in 21. Geelong having an unbelievable year in 2022. Collingwood in 2023. Like, it's always been hard to win. Like, it's fucking hard to win a premiership. So I don't think this year is going to be any different. Like, it's just going to be another team that we have to deal with, whoever that may be, whether it be Collingwood or someone else, is immaterial.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually probably the perfect way to put it. I mean, it's a good perspective to have, because especially for me in my mindset at the moment, like I've just been like, fuck, have we let every other team just get really fucking good before we can actually win it all? But we'll see. I mean, I still tout that we've got the best list, and I still tout that we've you know, I still truly believe that. So if we've got the best list, then I should be confident that we can also beat anyone, which by the way, we can. But yeah, man, super exciting season ahead. I think it's going to be a long season for us Lions fans, a super stressful one at that. But I'm hoping it's long for all the good reasons and not, you know, we're losing every game and we've got injuries and fucking all the drama. Let's hope that we'll truly find out this weekend where we're at, man. So yeah, it should be an exciting one. And enjoy Gather Round, dude, because that's going to be a lot of fun.
Thank you, man. It's going to be good.
How long are you there for?
I'm going to Adelaide this Wednesday. I'm getting back on the Monday, I think.
Yeah, nice, dude. That'd be a sick weekend. Yeah. Sick weekend good across night. The board for you, man. Like, how many games are you going to?
I'm going to 5 or 6. I missed out on a couple because I got my tickets late because I was at work. But I'm going to a decent amount. So that's all I can ask for.
Beautiful. Yeah, man. Super jealous of you. Super envious. I mean, fuck, I could realistically make the trip over if I wanted to. I mean, I finished TAFE this week and go on holidays for a week, which would be very lovely. But yeah, it's not going to be for me this year, man, but I will be hoping to get down there next year, even the year after. We'll see, man. But I think that all just about wraps us up, unless you've got anything else here to talk about. But I think we're all good. We're going to be all good, man. I didn't want to... Guys, it is really hard for us at the moment to just keep this energy going. I understand we're in a really rough patch, but it's just... It's really hard to be positive and sort of, you know, talk about our lines in a very enthusiastic way at the moment. It's a really testing time for us, but hey man, we're still going to be back here every week pumping these episodes out, and soon enough, we'll get there. 100%. That's what I know we're going to come good. I know we are. So it's just a matter of when, and I'm hoping it's going to be this Friday at Norwood Oval against the Kangaroos. But till then, guys, that just about wraps us up for this week's episode of The Main Event. Go give us a follow at Main Event Pod. Give Egg a subscription on YouTube at Egg Footy. Give myself a follow on Instagram if you're fucking interested in what I do, which is not much interesting. I just post a lot of memes. But definitely go give the page a follow, guys. It's where we post every single week. It's probably the best way to keep in touch with us, man. Till then, that's been us here on The Main Event. We'll see you all next week after our game against the Kangaroos for Gather Round.